Before I begin, I would like to acknowledge that this work was developed and presented on the unceded territory of the Lenape people. I wish to pay my respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Community Library. I'm your host, Angauri Rice. So this month, I'm talking all about film adaptations of books. I hope you enjoyed last week's episode, even though it was a little bit of a hot mess. I can promise that this episode is going to be a lot more carefully planned out and thoughtful and insightful. So hopefully you enjoyed this episode too. This week, I'm going to talk about a few of my favorite film and TV adaptations of books. And I also asked you guys, the listeners, what your favorite film adaptations of books are, and I'm going to talk about a few of them at the end. So to begin with, I want to talk about my favorite adaptations that I have both seen and read. The Hate U Give, 2018, directed by George Tillman Jr., written by Audrey Wells, based on the novel The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas. So The Hate U Give is a YA contemporary novel, and it was published in 2017, and it automatically became a New York Times bestseller, won tons of awards, and was very, very popular. It follows 16-year-old Star, who witnesses the fatal shooting of her childhood best friend, Khalil, at the hands of a police officer. Khalil was unarmed. The story follows her dealing with grief and the increasing pressure to speak about what happened that night. The film adaptation was released in 2018, starring Amandla Stenberg as Star. I read the book a year after it was published in 2018, kind of after all the hype had happened, and I saw the film in cinemas in early 2019. I loved both the book and the film, and I thought Amandla Stenberg portrayed Star perfectly. Like, she had that depth and that emotion to her, but also this incredible lightness, and you really see that in the scenes with her family. And that's something I loved about the book, was the relationship with her family, and I think that that was really nicely done in the film as well. Both the book and the film are very hard-hitting, but it's got great light and shade, so you've got that balance. I actually saw this with Maya, who has been a guest on the podcast before, and we cried multiple times in the cinema. And by the time the credits were rolling, we were both just sobbing. So be prepared to cry. Sense and Sensibility, 1995, directed by Ang Lee, written by Emma Thompson, based on the novel Sense and Sensibility by Jane Austen. So, as I'm sure you all know, I love Jane Austen. And though Sense and Sensibility isn't my favorite novel of hers, I love this film adaptation. The story follows two sisters, Eleanor and Marianne Dashwood. The former is prudent and reserved, and the latter reckless and romantic. And after their father dies and leaves his estate to their half-brother, because obviously the fortune must go through the male line, they are forced to move to a small cottage and enter polite society. The girls encounter and must navigate acquaintances with pompous neighbors, rude in-laws, and, of course, dashing young men. And like all of Jane Austen's works, there have been quite a few adaptations, but the most famous and my personal favorite is the 1995 adaptation starring Emma Thompson and Kate Winslet as Eleanor and Marianne, respectively. This film adaptation also features Hugh Grant and Alan Rickman as two of the dashing young men. Both of the lead women are fantastic, and they have such a great dynamic. And that's one of my favorite things about this novel as well, is the sister dynamic. I have a sister myself, and just to see these two young women growing up together is really lovely, and it just reminds me a lot of me and my sister. The costumes in the film are beautiful, as they always are, and it's also really funny, and I find that film adaptations of Jane Austen novels often get rid of some of the more comedic elements of the story and focus on the drama. But what I like about Sense and Sensibility is that Emma Thompson kept some really funny lines, and so it has that lightness to it. Also, Hugh Grant is brilliant. Just needed to say that. Rebecca, 1940, directed by Alfred Hitchcock, written by Robert E. Sherwood and Joan Harrison, based on the novel Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier. So I read Rebecca quite a few years ago now, but I remember just loving it. It's so suspenseful and exciting, and the twist is just incredible. I also love the whole atmosphere. It's really eerie and gothic. If you've read Jane Eyre, it's kind of like that, but just 1930s. So the story follows a young woman who falls in love with the charming and rich Max de Winter. He takes her back to his wonderful mansion, but the longer she stays there, the longer she finds the house haunted with the memory of his first wife, Rebecca. The novel was published in 1938, and a film adaptation directed by Alfred Hitchcock was released just 2 years later. Hitchcock is famous for suspense, so films like Psycho, Rear Window, Vertigo. Though the adaptation might not be super faithful to the book in terms of character development, it captures a fabulous atmosphere. The film is in black and white, and the visuals are stunning. I would mention one scene in particular, but it would give the plot away, so I won't. But there's a scene at the climax of the film that I think is so beautifully shot. The film also stars two of the most famous British actors of that era, Laurence Olivier and Joan Fontaine. I can't remember much of their performances, to be honest, but I do remember it being very quintessentially 1940s Hollywood, the golden age of cinema, some would say. Clueless, 1995, written and directed by Amy Heckerling, based on the novel Emma by Jane Austen. So if you're new to the podcast, you might not know this, but Emma is one of my favourite books of all time. But my favourite adaptation of it is not the 1996 film with Gwyneth Paltrow, nor is it the 2009 limited series starring Romola Garai. It's also not the 1996 TV movie with Kate Beckinsale, or the 1972 limited series with Doran Goodwin. Nor is it the 2005 Japanese cartoon adaptation. My favourite adaptation is the cinematic masterpiece that is Clueless, starring Alicia Silverstone. Next week, I'm going to do a whole episode comparing Emma and Clueless. So if you haven't seen the movie or read the book yet, give it a go, see what you think, and I'm going to be doing a whole discussion episode on it, and I'm super excited for it. But I did want to mention it here because it is one of my favourite adaptations of all time. So Emma follows the story of Emma Woodhouse, a young, rich, and single woman who fancies herself a matchmaker, but has no interest in marrying herself. But as Emma's marriage plans for her friend Harriet become complicated, she begins to question her past behavior. Clueless, meanwhile, follows young, rich, and single high schooler Cher Horowitz. When new girl Ty arrives at school, Cher decides to take her on as a protege and educate her in becoming popular in high school. Drama and, of course, fabulous outfits ensue. I think Clueless is a very faithful adaptation of Emma. I mean, it is set in high school and a few things are changed to make it work in a modern context, but I think it's really faithful to the character of Emma, or in the movie, Cher. It also captures that really witty sense of humor that Jane Austen has in the novel. The reader is supposed to love Emma while also seeing her vanity and self-indulgence. I think Alicia Silverstone really captures this in her portrayal, but also makes Emma really likable and funny. And it's not a sweeping romantic drama, it's a romantic comedy, and I think the format of a 90s teen film really works. The characters make sense in the world of the film, but when you read the book, you also see how close they are to the original characters. And of course, I love the film as a film, not only as an adaptation. I actually saw the film and loved it before I even knew that it was an adaptation of Emma. And there are so many iconic outfits and lines, and also Paul Rudd is just the best as Mr. Knightley. Romeo and Juliet, 1996, directed by Baz Luhrmann. Written by Baz Luhrmann and Craig Pearce, based on the play Romeo and Juliet by William Shakespeare. Romeo and Juliet tells the story of two households, both alike in dignity, in fair Verona, where we lay our scene. The households, Capulet and Montague, have always hated each other. But alas, 13-year-old Juliet Capulet and 15-year-old Romeo Montague meet and fall in love. In time, they become star-crossed lovers, only to take their lives due to the flawed plan and general incompetence of one Friar Lawrence. Okay, so everyone knows the story, and everyone knows the Baz Luhrmann 1996 adaptation with Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes. It's pretty famous. The reason I like this adaptation so much is the design. It's just incredible. You've got neon lights, Californian sun, candles, floral shirts. The costumes are wonderful and it's just shot so beautifully. I think my favorite shot of the whole film is the establishing shot of the church in which Juliet is lying. Romeo is walking down the middle aisle of the pews, and either side there are candles and bright blue neon crosses. And it's just such a powerful shot. It's a visually stunning film. Even if you're not interested in the story of Romeo and Juliet or Shakespeare, it's just a great piece of cinema. Bridget Jones's Diary, 2001, directed by Sharon Maguire, written by Helen Fielding, Andrew Davis, and Richard Curtis, based on the novel Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. So this is actually interesting because Bridget Jones's Diary, the film, is also based on a book called Bridget Jones's Diary by Helen Fielding, but the story is based on Pride and Prejudice. So it's interesting because it's actually an adaptation of an adaptation, if that makes sense. So, Pride and Prejudice follows our witty and clever heroine, Elizabeth Bennet, and her four sisters as they become acquaintances with the rich and eligible bachelor, Mr. Bingley, and his rude and proud friend, Mr. Darcy. Every interaction Elizabeth has with Darcy contributes to her dislike of him, while Darcy becomes increasingly distressed at the fact that he finds her eyes very pretty. So it's the classic hate-to-love romantic comedy, and it's of course filled with repressed sexual tension and polite remarks that are actually quite rude. Bridget Jones's Diary, meanwhile, follows Bridget, 32, smoker, drinker, and very single. As a New Year's resolution, she decides to quit smoking, minimize drinking, and find a handsome young man and fall in love. Though this is probably the loosest adaptation that features on my list, there's no denying that it's heavily based on and inspired by Pride and Prejudice. I mean, there's even a character called Mark Darcy. The cast is great. You've got Renee Zellweger, Colin Firth, and Hugh Grant, and it has one of the best fight scenes I have ever seen in a movie. I also like how this adaptation focuses more on the romance of it all. In Pride and Prejudice, the character that Hugh Grant's role is based on is a lot smaller, so I like how they expand it and give more dramatic weight to that storyline. Overall, I think it's a fantastic romantic comedy and pays great tribute to Pride and Prejudice while also being its own standalone film. So while there have been some incredible film adaptations of books, there have also been some great miniseries adaptations. And I think a miniseries is a really great way to adapt a book for the screen because you have more time to tell the story and you don't have to cut as many things out of the plot. So now I want to talk about two of my favorite book to miniseries adaptations. Pride and Prejudice, 1995, directed by Simon Langton, written by Andrew Davies, based on the novel Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. Okay, so I promise you, this is the absolute last Jane Austen adaptation that I'm going to talk about. So many people love the 2005 adaptation starring Keira Knightley, but I actually prefer the 1995 BBC miniseries. Jennifer Ayler is Elizabeth and Colin Firth is Darcy, and I think they're a perfect match. Their chemistry and dynamic on screen is just incredible. It's also a really faithful adaptation, except for the scene where Darcy is in a wet white shirt, but no one's complaining about that. It doesn't compromise on the comedy, which I've mentioned before is a really important thing for me in Jane Austen adaptations. If you're studying Pride and Prejudice in school and don't want to read the book, then you can just watch the miniseries. It's almost scene for scene, and most of the dialogue is taken directly from the book. I mean, you should probably like still read the book, but I think the series gets the lighthearted tone exactly right. Big Little Lies, Season 1, 2017, directed by Jean-Marc Vallée, created by David E. Kelly, based on the novel Big Little Lies by Leanne Moriarty. So everyone knows Big Little Lies. It was hugely popular and won a bunch of Emmys and Golden Globes. I watched the first season when it came out with my mum, and we both really loved it. And because I liked it so much, I decided to pick up the book. So I actually read the book after having watched the miniseries adaptation. The book is by an Australian author and is also set in Australia on Sydney's northern beaches. The story follows a single mother who moves to a wealthy beach town with her son, and there she meets a group of seemingly perfect upper-class parents, but their lives begin to slowly unravel to the point of murder. The miniseries has a great cast. The three leading ladies are Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman, and Shailene Woodley. Something the book does really well is create the dynamic between these three women, how they interact, what happens when their husbands and their children get involved, and the things that they share and the things that they keep secret. I really loved the way the series did this too. The three women work so well together on screen and in their scenes, and with all the scenes really, it's so much more about what is left unsaid. The whole book is about reading between the lines and finding those little white lies and secrets, and I think the series did that really well. I haven't seen the second season yet, but I would like to. It's not based on the book, because that story ended, obviously. So I'd be really interested to see how they continue the story on its own rather than as an adaptation. I know they actually got Leanne Moriarty on the project as a writer for season two. So I guess she would know where she wants the story to go. So I will definitely be watching that soon. So there are quite a few film adaptations of books that I love, but there are also some film adaptations of books that I haven't read, but I like the movie all the same. And though I can't speak to how these films compare with the books, I can talk about why I love these stories and why I think they work as films. So I'm going to talk about a few films that I liked that are based on books that I haven't read. Anna Karenina, 2012, directed by Joe Wright, written by Tom Stoppard, based on the novel Anna Karenina by Leo Tolstoy. Anna Karenina is set in late 19th century Russia and follows the story of, you guessed it, Anna Karenina. She is a Russian aristocrat who begins a scandalous love affair with the dashing Count Vronsky. So this 2012 adaptation starred Keira Knightley in the leading role, and what I love about this film is the production design. Almost all of it is set in a theater. So it's like their whole world exists inside a big opera theater, and the stage is redressed in each scene to look like a bedroom or a train carriage. Or, for example, they go to the races and the characters all sit in the seats and watch the horses gallop by on stage. And it's just such an inventive way of telling a story, and I think it also comments on the nature of the society of that time. So I really like the way that this story is visually represented in the film. The Beautiful Lie, 2015, directed by Glendon Ivan and Peter Salmon, written by Alice Bell and Jonathan Gavin, based on the novel Anna Karenina by Leo Tolstoy. I mean, at this point, I should just read the book because I've seen two adaptations of it that I really liked. This is not a film, this is an Australian miniseries starring Sarah Snook. It's set in present-day Melbourne and adapts the story really well. It's kind of scary how much has stayed the same and how much is believable in modern times. I mean, obviously some of the things had to change, but the tone and characters are exactly the same. I also think that Sarah Snook is fantastic in the role of Anna. So if you're looking for a high quality Australian drama limited series, this is a really great one to watch. 10 Things I Hate About You, 1999, directed by Gil Younger, written by Karen McCullough and Kirsten Smith, based on the play The Taming of the Shrew by William Shakespeare. Okay, does anyone not like this movie? Because 10 Things I Hate About You is one of those movies that I will never, ever get sick of. Like, I can watch this movie night after night after night. And again, isn't it scary how easily things from 400 years ago translate into modern times? Like, it's just bizarre to me. Anyway, 10 Things I Hate About You follows sisters Kat and Bianca, played by Julia Stiles and Larissa Oilenick, respectively. Bianca is pretty and popular, while her older sister Kat is rude and sarcastic. Their overprotective single father comes up with a brilliant plan. Bianca can't date until her sister does. Now, I can't tell you much about William Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew, but my mum assures me that 10 Things I Hate About You is much better. Apparently, the play showcases toxic masculinity and the patriarchy at its worst, and you can still see this in the film. The female characters are controlled and abused by their husbands and fathers, but the play's attitude towards this behavior is very unclear. Is the play mocking the misogynistic men who create unfair societal standards for women? Or is it condoning the taming of women who are a bit too outspoken? I mean, I don't know. I haven't read the play. What I do know is that 10 Things I Hate About You is not really about taming Kat at all, and it's not about winning Bianca. I think it's about two sisters putting up with bullshit from their dad and bullshit from the guys at school and realizing that it's what they, the girls, want is important. They make their own decisions and decide to settle for nothing less than what they deserve. Also, the film features a great scene in which Heath Ledger sings and dances to Can't Take My Eyes Off You by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, and I don't think that's in the play. Brooklyn, 2015, directed by John Crowley, written by Nick Hornby, based on the novel Brooklyn by Colm Tobin. Now, I don't know much about this book at all. I didn't know the film was actually based on a book until fairly recently, but this is one of my favorite movies of all time. Brooklyn stars Saoirse Ronan in the role of Eilish, an Irish girl who moves to 1950s Brooklyn. It's about love and family and home and makes me cry buckets every time I watch it. It's not even particularly sad. It's just something about homesickness and finding your place in the world just like really hits me hard. I think I would like to read the book, but the movie exists so perfectly in my mind that I don't know if I want to experience the story in any other way. Saoirse Ronan is brilliant in this role, though she's brilliant in basically every role. And she plays the character with so much heart and emotion, and you really, really feel for her. And the costumes are also beautiful, of course. And the two locations, 1950s New York and 1950s Ireland, are just stunning. So watch this movie if you want a good cry. Dangerous Liaisons, 1988, directed by Stephen Frears, written by Christopher Hampton. Based on the novel Les Liaisons Dangereux by Pierre Chauderlot de Laclos. Les Liaisons Dangereux is a French novel published in 1782 and has been adapted into many film adaptations, including French ones. One of the most famous adaptations is the 1988 version. This version stars Glenn Close, John Malkovich, and Michelle Pfeiffer. So the story follows a scheming widow and her manipulative ex-lover, and they place a bet to corrupt a beautifully innocent and recently married woman. This is a true adaptation, so it is set in 1782 in France. What I love about historical dramas is that there's so much repressed sexual tension. It's all about reading between the lines, and everybody says one thing and then they mean something else. It was a really restricting society, and the film is about these people who are constantly pushing the boundaries of what was acceptable for that time. All performances in this film are fantastic. Keanu Reeves and Uma Thurman are also in it, and they're great. It's a very emotional and dramatic film, and it's really a character study, which is what I love about it. And of course, it's just beautifully shot. Cruel Intentions, 1999, written and directed by Roger Cumble, based on the novel Les Liaisons Dangereux by Pierre Chauderlot de Laclos. So Cruel Intentions is interesting because it's another adaptation of an adaptation, if you will. It takes the story of Dangerous Liaisons and sets it in a Manhattan prep school, and it works really well in this new context. It's still about rivalries and revenge and manipulation among rich people, but this time they're all teenagers. It stars Sarah Michelle Gellar, Ryan Phillippe, and Reese Witherspoon, and I like it because it's a classic story in a new setting, and I always love that. I mean, if you look back on the pattern of these film adaptations that I love, most of them are classic stories put in a new context. And I really like how they change certain things or alter certain things, but the heart of the story stays the same. And to me, it just shows how little humans have changed over time. We are still motivated by the same things. So I think that's really interesting. Also, the film has a great soundtrack, and it features the song Bittersweet Symphony by The Verve, which is one of my favorite songs. Les Misérables, musical, since 1980. Music by Claude-Michel Schoenberg. French lyrics by Alain Boublil and Jean-Marc Nattel. English lyrics by Herbert Kretzmer. French book by Alain Boublil and Claude-Michel Schoenberg. English book by Trevor Nunn, John Caird, and James Fenton. Based on the novel Les Misérables by Victor Hugo. That's a lot of names. So most people know Les Mis as a musical, but before it was a brilliant stage musical, it was an epic French novel by Victor Hugo. And when I say epic, not only do I mean a sweeping, romantic, and complicated story, but I also mean an epic page count. The full volume is 1,500 pages long. I don't know if anyone has read it in full. My mom said that when she read it, she skipped over the sections about history and it still made sense. But my favorite way to consume this story is to see it as a stage musical. There have been many non-musical film and TV adaptations, but the only film musical adaptation has been the 2012 one. I enjoyed the film, but I don't think anything beats seeing it on stage. The story is fantastic. There are so many characters and they're all connected in these coincidental ways. And the music is so exciting. I just love a good musical. So if you have the opportunity to see Les Mis on stage, I would highly recommend it. So finally, I asked you guys on Instagram what some of your favorite adaptations are, and you guys had some really great answers. So I want to share some of them here. I'm going to start off with the most popular answers. A lot of people said Harry Potter. So these books were written by J.K. Rowling and the films were directed by Chris Columbus, Alfonso Cuarón, Mike Newell, and David Yates. I also love these films. They're so nostalgic for me. The reason I didn't include them in here is that I don't know how I feel about them as film adaptations on their own, because I can't separate my love for the Harry Potter world and the nostalgia that's associated with them. Another really common answer was Lord of the Rings. These books are by J.R.R. Tolkien and the films were directed by Peter Jackson. I read The Hobbit, but I couldn't get through Lord of the Rings. The book, I mean. I haven't tried watching the films yet, but they are on my list and I'm definitely going to do a marathon one day where I just watch all of them just to say that I've done it. A lot of people said The Shining was one of their favorite adaptations. This book was written by Stephen King and the film was directed by Stanley Kubrick. I am a huge scaredy cat, so I usually steer clear of Stephen King books and films based on his books. So I don't know if I'll be watching The Shining anytime soon. Many people mentioned the 2005 adaptation of Pride and Prejudice. This is obviously based on the book by Jane Austen, and the film was directed by Joe Wright, who also did Anna Karenina. To Kill a Mockingbird was another common one. This book was written by Harper Lee, and the film was directed by Robert Mulligan. It's a classic Hollywood film in black and white, stars Gregory Peck. I studied the book in school and I believe we watched the movie in class as well, but I haven't seen the movie in a while, so maybe I should give it a rewatch. Another really popular answer was The Hunger Games. These books were written by Suzanne Collins. The first film was directed by Gary Ross and the remaining films directed by Francis Lawrence. I haven't seen the movies since I first watched them, which was when they first came out. I was part of that fandom, I guess, but I haven't really returned to it. So maybe next year I'll do a big reread of The Hunger Games and rewatch all the movies. I actually don't think I've seen the very last film, Mockingjay Part 2, so I should definitely watch that. Okay, so I think that's all I have to talk about today. Thank you so much for listening. I had a really fun time compiling a list of all my favorite film adaptations of books. If there are any that I missed or any you think I should read or watch, then don't hesitate to tweet me at Angowri Rice. You can use the hashtag TheCommunityLibrary. You can also mention me in stories or send me a DM on Instagram. I usually don't reply to them in the app, but I mention them on the podcast and I might answer your questions in the podcast. Another thing I want to mention is I transcribe every single episode for you guys, so you can read along if you want. I will have the transcriptions on my blog, which is www.angowrieslibrary.wordpress.com. You can download the transcriptions. There's also more resources there, more links. So yeah, check that out. If you enjoyed this episode, you can subscribe on iTunes so that you never miss an episode. You can also rate and review on your podcast platform of choice. You can follow follow the community library on Instagram at the_community_library, and you can use the hashtag the community library on Instagram or Twitter. The podcast artwork is designed by Ashley Running. You can look at more of her work at ashleyrunning.com, or you can go to helio-press.com. That's dash the symbol. Once again, thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.
Le roman de Chauderlot de Laclos qui s'intitule les... Je vais vous présenter le roman de Chauderlot de Laclos qui s'intitule les... Je vais vous présenter le roman de Chauderlot de Laclos qui s'intitule...
Chauderlot de Laclos. Les liaisons dangereuses by Pierre Chauderlot de Laclos. Oh, yikes. Okay.